everyone. Welcome to our season finale of Mom Notes. Our last guest for this season is an awesome friend of mine named Lee. I know Lee from living back in Lynchburg. She teaches at a private school there, and she teaches elementary music and middle school band and orchestra here and there at the private school. And she has three awesome boys, and she's just super cool, fun lady. And I'm really, really glad she came on our show to talk about private school and being an elementary music teacher and doing it all and being a mom too.
Yeah, I loved having an elementary teacher on. I love that we've had the span, like college, high school, middle school, band, choir. So we got elementary in, and I know nothing about the elementary world, but I am amazed at what they can do and how creative elementary, especially music teachers, are. So, and she did not disappoint. She was so fun, and she's a fellow Hokie, so can't go wrong there.
All right, well, here is our interview with Lee, and stay tuned after the interview. We're going to talk about wrapping up season one and some things we're looking forward to in season two. Lee, I'm so excited you're going to do this. I just thought you would be perfect for the show. So I'm just really excited you're here.
I just like chatting with you guys. You're awesome. So.
Okay, so can you do like a brief intro of like, you as a person, your family unit, like your job, just like a brief overview of the awesomeness of Lee.
Sure. My name is Lee Berkeley. I have three kids. They're all boys. And boy party. I have two dogs. We have boxers. And I have a husband, and I take care of all of them.
Are your dogs boys or girls?
One boy, one girl. I need some sort of feminine energy in the house.
Yes.
And I teach K through 8 music at a private school in Lynchburg. And I also am an adjunct professor at Randolph. And what else should I tell you?
You play, we said your instrument's clarinet.
My main instrument's clarinet.
Mm-hmm. How old are your kids?
My kids, I have a 10-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 1.5-year-old.
Oh, I can't believe he's 1.5.
My little girl's 1.5.
It's so much fun. He is into everything and talking and signing, so now we can know what he wants, and he is very sure of himself and everything in the world.
Oh, my gosh.
He now can climb up onto the kitchen island and explore, and it's nonstop. I almost forgot how hard it was at this stage. The older ones, you know, they grow out of it so fast and they start taking care of themselves. And now I've got this little monster that gets into everything all the time and wants to be involved in everything. And from sun up to sundown, it is constant running. And then when he crashes, I crash hard.
Yeah, because y'all were kind of out of the baby phase, and then boom, chick-a-boom, you had number three. I remember that. I'm like, oh my gosh, their baby is having a third. That's amazing.
Number three was a little more spread out than I wanted it to be, but it just, we needed the time, and we had a lot going on, so it worked out, and number three will be it. There will be no more. It has been nice. It's nice because when I need to give him attention, the youngest, the older two can play together and they're very self-sufficient. And when I was pregnant, I was teaching the oldest one how to make mac and cheese and, you know, pancakes and things so they could make their own food if I couldn't get out of bed or whatever it would be. So they're very self-sufficient. It's made it nice. The downside is I'm getting close to 40 and I'm just way too tired to handle the energy of a toddler. Yeah. It gets really hard as you get older.
Do the older two help with him?
Oh, so much. It's to the point now where if I need to go take a shower, I can just say, I'm going to go take a shower. You guys watch your brother, and they will keep him entertained and safe for 10 minutes. Where, as you know, when you have that first one, you don't bathe for days sometimes because you can't leave them. There's nowhere to go.
There's no backup.
You know, you put them in the playpen. I used to put them in the playpen in the bathroom.
In the shower, yeah.
Like, leave the clear shower curtain there so I could watch them as they screamed at me from the playpen in the bathroom.
Please stay happy for 5 minutes.
Right, give me 5 minutes. I will give you my cell phone. I will give you whatever you want.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Just let's see. Let's see. If you stay happy a little longer and maybe I'll get to one leg. Oh, got my shin shaved. All right. That's good.
That's right.
Oh man. Oh my gosh.
Ankle to knee is all you need right now.
when Joan was little and I had that, I would just put her in the shower with me. Like I would just give her a bunch of toys and set her down and be like, play. And like give her like foamy soap and she would like draw on the shower wall with the foam.
That's really smart.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So would you say more is easier than one?
Like, yes. I kind of think it's like with my dogs. When you have one, they need you all the time and there's nothing else to distract them. But we've always had two dogs for the same reason. They play together and keep each other company. And the kids have been the same way. Once we had the second, and they have to get older. You know, when they're little, they can't really connect and play that much. But the older two now, once they got able to play together, they keep themselves occupied and they just have the greatest time, especially in this pandemic. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine having one kid during a pandemic. Mm-hmm. They have nothing, no one to play with. And my kids all year, I've just said, we can't see our friends, but guess what? You have each other. Go play.
Yeah. Aww.
Great.
And some days it works and some days it doesn't, but it's wonderful to have more than one. And now that the youngest is getting big enough to play, they love showing him things and teaching him things and they'll all play with the mega blocks together or the race cars. And it's so wonderful. That's the best feeling as a mom when the kids all play together.
Yeah. Cause we're kind of in the, that's what Sarah always tells me. We're kind of in the stage where our little girl she just turned 19 months. And so we're like, and I didn't have her late, but I'm not in my 20s. And so we're like, okay, like talking about the second. And a part of me is like, already, we're not even pregnant yet. And part of me is like, oh my God, but I'm so sad. Like I'll have to split my attention. She won't get, I'll miss things with her. You know, I think it's just because you can't picture the real other person yet because they don't exist. But
it does take a lot of time away. And I feel guilty even now with the youngest, the older two sometimes, the middle child especially, he'll come up and go.
Poor middle child.
Well, you know what? We knew he was the middle child before the third one was born. So I think he just knew he was destined to be that way. He's always had that chip on his shoulder from the day before. But he came up the other day and he said, Mom, you don't hug and snuggle me like you do Miles.
I said,
well, then get over here and get one. I said, it's usually because you're running away from me and yelling at me about something. That's why you don't snuggle. So you have to separate. But the nice thing about having the second is there's two of you and there's two kids. And so you really just learn to divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. And one of you deals with the baby and the other one gives special attention to the one you have. And then you flip-flop and take turns. And we do that now with the third kid. When I was nursing the baby, my husband would take the older two and they would go do special boy things that the older boys could do.
Yeah.
And now that we've finally weaned, thank God.
Girl.
Weaning in a pandemic is hard. But now that we've finally made that, my husband can take the baby and go put him to bed or nap and things. And I'll take the other two and we'll go outside and we'll play or we'll go ride bikes and do big boy things. And so you still have to divide a little bit, but, they all get their turn. And at the end of the day, I think they're better off for having each other than not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that. And we definitely split. Like usually I have Joan, usually Clyde has the baby, but we do switch it off to keep it mixed up. But you know, Joan goes to school with me, Clyde takes the baby to the daycare. It's definitely like mine, yours. Sometimes we switch off. But it definitely makes you feel like you can do it.
But you also have to find what fits best. Like for my family, mm-hmm. my husband will admit to everyone on the planet that he is not good with babies. Like that is not his jam. But once they get older, he is a rock star. He is so good. So we just know when there's a baby, I deal with that side and he gets the older ones. But now that they're all getting older, I'm just gonna say, like, it's your turn. You get all of them.
You wanted Gaston and all his nine sons. Here you go.
Okay, you've got three boys, and once they hit a certain age, especially, this is all you, man. Like,
Strapping young boys.
I'm tapping out of this game pretty soon, and you're gonna get to deal with it.
So is like, do you and your husband hang out after they're all asleep? Like, do they sleep early enough for that, or what? When do you guys get to hang out?
So honestly, this third baby has been a rock star. A lot of people have told me the third baby just has to be because of the life that they're born into. But he's been the greatest sleeper from day one. He goes to bed pretty well. He would wake up maybe once at night, but man, one time at night, you can handle that.
Yeah, that's okay.
So the great part is they go to bed around 8 or 8:30, depending on the day, and then we might hang out, watch some shows, or as teachers, I'm doing schoolwork and he's doing his work, and we do date nights. Obviously, not so much with a pandemic, but we've got a good group of babysitters, and we bring them in and go out. And he's a musician also, so the nice part is we'll go and so we used to have concerts at the same time, so we'd go play in concerts and then grab drinks after, or we'd go see a show together. That's been very different with the pandemic, obviously, but
Yeah.
that's something that we would do together often, is go find something musical to do and leave the kids with someone else.
Oh, so what does he do?
He is a counselor. He runs a mental health agency.
Oh.
So he is a musician in the heart, and he very clearly could have made it a career, but his calling was the family business. His mom started a mental health agency, and he has taken it over and runs it. And they help children, and they do inpatient, outpatient. And the big thing lately has been the opioid epidemic and addiction counseling. He says addiction services. So,
Good for him. So, did you, when you were in college, did you want to teach band or did you want to do elementary?
I actually started at Virginia Tech as a music technology major, and very quickly into the degree program, about the end of the first year, I was talking with Dr. Husser, who was the department head way back then, and he just looked at me and he said, "You don't seem like the kind of person who wants to be locked up in a dark room alone all the time doing recordings." And I said, "You're probably right." And he goes, "I think you just need to be around people." And I said, "You're probably right." And so I switched to be a music ed major.
Yeah. That's how I decided to do ed and not performance in the end.
It's a very lonely life. And he even looked at me, he said, "Do you really want to be with all these tech audio nerds?" And
God, no.
I said,
God,
"I'm
no.
kind of nerdy too, though." And he goes, "You are." He said, "But you like to be with people and you're good with people." He goes, "I don't think you'd be happy with this." And so their guidance really did help. When I went into music ed, I focused on secondary. I never thought I would be teaching elementary. And again, my first job was middle school, and I helped at a high school. And then when I went to grad school, one of my jobs for my stipend, I got to go for free, and I part of the deal was to teach an undergraduate course. So I taught basically music ed for elementary majors.
Like method.
So it was actually a lot of fun, and I started getting more into that elementary world. And then I had a fantastic professor at Maryland who was the guru of elementary music. And I was actually just telling my second graders about her today. We were doing one of her favorite activities. And I said, I was in a graduate class that went from 7 to 9:30 on Monday nights with her. And she literally made us stand up, adults, full of the class of adults, and dance and sing the old brass wagon around the classroom. And that's what we did in a master's level course because she knew it was important to do these activities. And then we would talk about it. And she really kind of helped me see the fun and joy. And also it changes when you have kids, being a young and single slash newly married without kids, high school and middle school band teacher, I lived the life of marching band and concerts and trips. And once I had kids, that kind of changes your perspective as a female director, especially because a lot of the responsibility of the child rearing falls on you. And that lifestyle wasn't going to work for me. There was no way I could have an infant in my mind and be nursing and doing teaching all day on Friday, marching band after school, football games. I wouldn't get home till 11:30 at night, and then Saturday waking up again and going to a competition, we're
Competition,
gone 12 hours. And then waiting for that last kid to get picked up. I had one kid, I had to drive her home, which is not the right thing to do, but I did it
We've
because
all done it.
we've
I've done
all
it.
been there and we've
I've
broken
done it.
rules. I drove her home into the middle of freaking nowhere, Bedford County, at 1 in the morning after a trip. I didn't get home till after 2. And that's just not something that's sustainable as a working mother. Some people that can do it, I give you props. I don't know how they manage it, but it wasn't going to work for our lifestyle. So the elementary thing fell on me when I finished grad school. I left Maryland and came back. We never sold our house. So I was actually a full-time student slash commuter. I would drive up on Mondays and stay in my apartment in Maryland for the week. And then I'd come home on Thursday or Friday based on my schedule and spend the weekends at home. When I was lucky, I would convince my husband to come up to Maryland for the weekend and we would do DC and all the great things that are up there. So when I came home, we were going to start our family, and this job at James River kind of fell into my lap. The teacher that was there didn't want to do it. And she called me and said, "I know you're back in town and they're looking for someone. What do you think?" I was like, "Well, I need a job, but I'm starting a family. I'm not ready to dive into this 24/7 music teacher job," which we all know music teacher jobs are never the hours they say they are. It doesn't matter if it's elementary, middle, or high school. You can be part-time, half-time, full-time, and it is always twice the hours because of the just nature of the job. So, falling into James River really was kind of a blessing for me. I started just doing band, and then the elementary teacher left town because her husband got a job in Ohio, and the principal said, "Do you want to take over her job?" And I said, "Sure." So I started teaching elementary school. And then the orchestra teacher left because her husband got a job in Richmond, and they said, "Do you think you can teach orchestra?" And I said, "Sure." And so now
Oh my
I
gosh.
teach K through 8 elementary music, band, and orchestra. And honestly, I love it. It's kind of nice to do a little bit of everything and to showcase everything I've learned over the years. We know as our degree program, we're certified pre-K through 12, and where as an instrumental certification, you're certified for band and orchestra. So it's kind of nice to pull all these things out. And my graduate degree in Maryland really did harness all of those skill sets. So I've been able to use it and it's been really delightful. I didn't know if it was going to be a long-term thing for me, but it's kind of fun now. I've been at the school for 10 years.
Cool. So what's your daily schedule like with all these different classes?
So, believe it or not, I am not officially full time.
Oh my
What? Sorry, what?
Oh, that's crazy.
We all know I really am full time. Contract hours, I am not. And part of it is I've talked to my principal about it multiple times. They don't know how to deal with a music teacher being full time versus part time or half time because they've never really had it before. When I started there, they had a part-time elementary music teacher, and then they had an orchestra teacher and a band teacher that just kind of came in on contract. They'd do a couple hours a week. It was more of a private lesson kind of gig. And I came in and I said, "I'm going to build you a program." And the principal said, "Do it." And she supported me 1,000%. And so I have built it up now where it was pre-pandemic quite successful. But my schedule is I teach K through 4 in the mornings. So every class gets music twice a week for 30 minutes, which I instituted. Initially, they only had music once a week. And I said, "That's not enough. We need twice a week." And after doing all my research and presenting it, they said, "We agree. We'll give you 2 times a week." So I do K through 4 twice a week in the mornings. And then we have built in middle school music into a lunch block schedule. It's not a deal, but given the private school setting, we don't necessarily have electives at the school. So they put me into a lunch block to give me a music class almost every day for my middle schoolers. The nice thing about not having it an elective is that we have a lot of kids at private school, which is very different than public school. These kids want to do everything. And some of it is the kids and some of it is the parents. And so I have kids that want to do band and choir or orchestra and choir or band and orchestra. And by having it during a lunch block, I have kids that can do all the music classes that they want, where in a public school, they have to pick. And in public school, a lot of the music classes are going up against other electives like media or technology or these really fun, exciting new things that are starting and pulling from music participation. And at my school, those things are all just kind of built in. And so every kid gets to do everything they want, which is a bit of a blessing for me that my kids don't have to choose. The downside is I don't have as much time with them as a normal middle school would, but we're working on it. I'm not finished yet.
Sarah here with my final recipe note of the season. And this is actually a new recipe I did the other day before we recorded this. And I'm a fan of this recipe because I love recipes where you are like, 9 times out of 10, I'm gonna have everything for this recipe in my fridge or in my pantry, or I can adapt it to stuff I have. And it is a Middle Eastern dish called shakshuka. What shakshuka? It is translated, it means eggs in hell, which I think is really fun. And it is kind of like a brunch dish, but you can definitely have it for dinner. So it is basically like a spicy Middle Eastern, thick, rich tomato sauce. And you can put meat in it and herbs and tons of vegetables, whatever you've got. And then you poach the eggs in the tomato sauce. So you've got the really spicy tomato sauce, the meat, the veggies, runny egg, and then you can serve it with whatever starch you want. I would suggest, like, if you have bread, toast it. There you go. I had leftover pizza dough, so I made like a Middle Eastern flatbread with it. Anything like that would be great with this. Something to dunk into the sauce in your egg and the meat and the veggies. So I'll post my version. And give that to Nicole to put on the Insta. And I hope I've inspired you to try something different. Middle Eastern shakshuka, eggs in hell. You're actually our first elementary music guest. So I'm really excited to talk more about elementary music. And I think you're our first, is she our first private school?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're like double whammy first for
Love
us.
it.
Yes. And I taught elementary for a few years too. So I'd love you to talk a little more about like teaching that, like, especially that like K-4 age group. Like, what's your favorite part and what favorite grade level to teach for the little ones?
That's kind of changed. It started off, I think, as I really enjoyed third and fourth grade the most. At my school, fifth grade is considered middle school. So
Okay.
that's why I kind of say K-4 and then middle school. So that gives you a little bit of reference there. At first, I thought I really liked third and fourth the most just because I could do more in-depth le lessons with them. It was really focusing in on rhythm studies, pitch studies, melodic patterns. And basically, in my mind, as starting out as a band and orchestra teacher and middle school director, I'm preparing them for middle school music. I want them to be able to have those tonal patterns and rhythmic patterns in their minds, so when we start doing music reading, they're ready for it. But the more I've taught, and now that I have my own kids, there's this special magic to kindergarten and first grade, where, especially in the pandemic, I've had to kind of let go and realize it doesn't really matter what we're doing. And I don't mean to say that as in we're not important,
So
but it's
true.
not about teaching specific skills or vocabulary. It's just about doing
Yeah.
and making sure that they are every lesson singing, dancing, playing, and having a really good time. That's the foundation at that level that they really do need. And I try to teach them more, content, but in a pandemic, everything just kind of went to the wayside, and I've let go and realized if all we do is sing and dance and play a game today and they leave smiling and happy, then I've done my job. Because
Absolutely. Yeah.
they're going to be happy to come back to music next time and the next year. And then when they get older, those are the kids that I'm just going to have hooked for life. And that's really the end goal, is we're trying to create musicians for life, whether they sing for their whole life or they play an instrument or they just appreciate what goes into music and they're able to understand it as an adult. And that's where K&1, that magic really does start. You just have to get them in young and just have a lot of fun.
So my question is, I am very foreign to the land of elementary. All I did was like one semester of student teaching, like 2 days a week. And so my question is, because I see this question a lot on those choir director social media pages and stuff. So I'm just thinking a lot of listeners may be thinking this about what you said when you transition to starting a family and the secondary life is just something that you can't see yourself doing with little ones in the house. I see a lot of people ask, is elementary, does it alleviate that? Does it assist with that lifestyle if that's what I want? And then I see mixed answers on that, where some people say elementary is not, it's, obviously it's a lot of work and it's just different. Like, what was that transition like for you? Did it solve that desire for you, or was it like more than you expected?
I think the difference is every school has different expectations for their elementary programs. And luckily for me, when I came in, the expectation was each grade level does a play and that's it. And I went, that's really basic. And we will do more than that one day. But for now, I'm just going to let that ride. The whole, the new teacher shouldn't change too much the first couple years. And that's worked well for me. I think the big difference is in high school compared to K through eight. Even my middle school program, we still do our concerts and we still do a, the King's Dominion Music Festival. But those are all things that my family can come with me. And I think that's the biggest difference. When I do a kindergarten or first grade play, most of the time my kids will be there with me because they'll sit in the chair next to me and watch the show and just be enamored in the music and the singing and dancing. And each show is 20 minutes, so I can bring my kid to work. High school, you can't really bring a young kid to an hour-long band or orchestra concert and expect them to sit when you're up on the stage. And it's a more formal event. Elementary things are much more family-oriented. There's way more young kids. So teaching elementary has helped me in that regard. And being at a private school, I've been able to build my own schedule. Basically, I've kind of set the ropes for what is expected and what's not. And when I started, my kids were very young, and so I was able to keep the expectations kind of low for a while. And then as my kids have grown up, I've been able to bring more of what I wanted to do in because now I have that time because my kids are a little older and I have a little bit more freedom in that. But you can basically schedule your whole year and each year just repeat the lessons. So kindergarten is always doing these activities and first grade's always doing this. And manipulatives are all the same and the instruments are the same. And I already have all of it done. So those first few years are rough because you're constantly making posters and printing and laminating. And oh my gosh, the visuals for kids are intense. But once you do it and you have all those files saved, you just whip out the folder. Okay, here's my, farm lesson, and here's my Valentine's lesson, and here's my nutcracker lesson, and it's already done and ready to go.
I miss that about elementary. Like, I would go like a few years and be like, oh, here's my entire kindergarten lessons from last year. These are all new kids. I can literally tweak it and do it again.
Exactly.
Yeah, with secondary, it's like, okay, well, here's a
Can't
whole
repeat anything ever.
concert series. And yeah, they've had me for years. I can't repeat anything.
Yeah, secondary, you've got that, depending on middle school or high school, that 4 to 5 or 6 year cycle where you can't repeat things.
But the repertoire lends itself to easier lesson planning, I think, because you just structure it around a rehearsal. But
You do, and you find, especially in middle school band and orchestra pieces are essentially all kind of the same. I mean, let's be honest, there's not as much score study involved in middle school music as there is high school music. And once you present those lessons, you kind of just kind of repeat the warm-up cycle and the rehearsals. Where elementary, it's nonstop. I mean, if you have a 30-minute class, you've got to run and you can't have any downtime or you completely lose them.
Yeah, that's short too. 30 minutes.
You have a funniest story from the littles? Like anything funny that jumps out at you? Because kids will say the darndest things.
Oh my gosh. I was trying to think of this earlier. There's so many I can't even keep track. My
Those are the
favorite.
funniest this year.
Oh, my. This year has been a little different just because of the pandemic, and then being masked. A lot of the kids are much more quiet this year, a little more reserved. I had a kindergartner today. Actually, I work with her dad. Her dad's our PE teacher. And she comes up in the middle of class and she goes, "Miss Berkeley, I have to tell you, I'm going to marry all of the boys." And I went, "Oh, honey, your dad is not going to want to hear this." So of course, I found him during a break and I said, "I have to tell you." And he goes, "Man, that girl's going to drive me up a wall."
So, do you have like go-to favorite lessons?
One of my favorites that I've been doing with elementary over the last few years, and obviously nothing is really original. I don't think I come up with anything original. It's a Valentine's Day lesson I love to do with the little kids. And we do, obviously, with the winter, especially, it lended well to the pandemic. We talk about the science of sound and how sound waves are created and how we hear sound waves. And then I open Audacity and we show them what sound waves look like when we record voices. And I let them all, using their singing voice, sing a little message to their parents. And they'll sing, "I love you," or "Happy Valentine's Day." And then I print out all of the little sound waves that their voices make. And they make a little Valentine in class. And we listen to music. We listen to like romantic period music while we do it. And they make a little Valentine for their parents with a picture of their voice. And then on the back, I put the QR code. So when they go home, their parents can scan it and hear their message from them.
Oh
Oh my gosh, my heart is
that is amazing.
exploding.
These are things, this is why I can't do elementary. I never think of something like that.
I've done this one for a long time and I can't remember where I found it, but it's been such a hit and people love it. And it's just the most adorable thing. And the kids really get into seeing what their voice looks like in a recording program. And it doesn't take that much time to pull them aside and let them sing a little message. And it's also obviously a built-in assessment. I can hear who can use a singing voice and who can't. But it's really, really delightful. And the kids enjoy making it and taking it home. And it's a nice little Valentine's Day activity for them. So that's been one of my favorites I do with my little kids.
Do you have to, does your school make you grade them?
So elementary school K through four, they don't get grades, but they get comments. And so every 6 weeks, I basically spend an entire week writing comments for almost every kid in the school because I teach almost every kid in the school.
Oh my
And that's a lot of
gosh.
work.
Oh, jeez.
And obviously, me being the overachiever, I want to give a detailed description of what kids can and cannot do because I'm constantly tracking that. And I know most parents are reading all these comments and going, "I don't care what happens in music class. How are they in reading and how are they in math?" But to me, you've got to let them know because if you don't do it, then music continues that cycle of not being as important as the other subjects. So I spend a lot of time, I write a lot of paragraphs on each kid. And then at the report card time, it's the same thing. I just write a lot of comments. And then our fifth through eighth graders actually get grades.
This is where people go like, "Oh, but you teach music. That's the fun class." And you're like, "Yeah, also I teach every single kid, not just 30 or whatever."
Right. It is the fun class. But yeah, if you've got, and again, luckily it being a private school, it is a bit smaller. I don't have, six classes of kindergarten like the local public school might have, but I see all of the kids and it's very magical though, because not everybody gets to see all the kids all the time.
Yeah,
And
totally.
when they graduate, it's taken me a while to get on board, but my private school has this very elaborate graduation ceremony for eighth graders. And at first I thought it was a little silly, but now that I'm there, it's very special. They spend 9 years at the school, most of them. And so when they leave, it's a big deal. Now that I've been there long enough, when they all graduate, I'm just the sobbing mess like their parents because I've known them since they were five and now they're graduating and I've taught them, most of them, every single year that they've been there. And it's a magical thing where in middle school and high school, you do see them for a long period of time, but it's a little bit different when you see them from 5 to 13 and
big
Yeah, that's a long
it's
time.
become a part of their lives, and we're doing that right now. We have graduation in about a month, and it's watching another class of kids leave, and it just kind of breaks your heart a little bit.
I went to a private school for high school, but it was a private Catholic high school. It was huge. So I've actually, as a student, experienced public and private school, but I'm interested in like your perspective as a music teacher, the differences between private and public, and like you can unpack that a little bit since you've done both.
As an educator and a professional, teaching in a private school has been a completely different experience. And obviously, every private school is very different too. But my private school, when I got hired, my principal came from St. Anne's Belfield in Charlottesville that built a monster music program. And she took her position at my school and said, "We're going to do the same thing." And she was dead set on building a music program. The sports program had been the highlight of the school before I got there, and she said, "That's great, but sports are extracurricular and music is curricular."
Hey.
Oh, I'm telling
telling you, this is one of the most phenomenal bosses or principals I've ever had the pleasure of being around. And when she retired, I cried. I was so upset.
And we're not knocking. I was an athlete, so I'm all for student sports, but I'm also for music has to be a curriculum
Oh,
subject.
me too. Sports
Yes.
are essential to kids' well-being,
Totally.
but they are after school. And there's a huge difference in music being part of the curriculum, whether you're looking at national standards, state standards, and PE covers those athletic standards for the curriculum, but we tend to, as Americans, put our sports activities ahead of a lot of other things when that is something that should be after school for fun and not necessarily part of the curriculum. So she has helped with that. So having that kind of a boss has made my job tremendously enjoyable, and the reason, honestly, that I've stayed as long as I have at that school. I am given complete autonomy to do what I want, and when I request things, I am basically told yes or we'll make it happen as soon as we can. I remember going in and saying, "I need some instruments." And they said, "What do you need?" I said, "I need a tuba." And they said, "Well, how much does that cost?" And then I told them, and they said, "Okay, wait a couple days and we'll see what we can do." And being in a place like that has been magical. Especially starting when I started there, they didn't really have as much of a music program as they have now. And they've completely bought into what I've sold them, and it's been really great to be somewhere that is really supportive.
So can you tell us a little about your boys? You've told us a little bit about your oldest. Well, we've heard a little bit about them. But like, how is the all boy energy?
It's
Your boy.
crazy, but I have three brothers, so I'm kind of used to it. I feel like this was almost God's plan of I had three brothers to prepare me for having three boys. So it doesn't really feel that different to me than my own house growing up. There's a ton of race cars and ninja fighting and wrestling and lots of battles, lightsabers and Star Wars and all of that. So I grew up with it and I'm very comfortable with it. And honestly, in college, I had boy roommates because I just felt more comfortable living with boys than I did with girls. And most people were kind of surprised that my dad signed on to that I had three boy roommates in college. But he didn't have to worry about the roommates. I married the one that lived down the street. So.
That's the
That was the one he needed to worry about. No, the roommates are still best friends, and they were all musicians as well. So I've just kind of been prepared for it, and
Yeah.
it's fun energy. I mean, having boys is a lot of fun. We run and scream and jump and play, and from what I hear from girl moms, there's not as much screaming and like fighting in that respect. We fight, but it's play fighting. It's I get asked probably every 30 minutes, can I lightsaber battle with somebody? And that's the kind of fighting we do. It's very active fighting and play fighting, where I've heard from girl moms it can be a little bit more of a power struggle.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
I'm already feeling that.
Yeah, Joan and I were arguing tonight. She said, "Well, I'm in charge of you." And I was like, "No, you are not." And she was like, well, Nana's in charge of you. I was like, not anymore. So that was
boys, I think with boys and, you know, having their mama around, they flat out will look at my husband and they go, well, mom's in charge. I'm going, yes, I am. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's that like boy, like mama's thing and girls and dads. Like my little girl's obsessed with her dad.
You know, and there was honestly with the third one, a little disappointment of not being able to experience that. But the three boys, I mean, my three musketeers there, just their lifelong bonding. And honestly, by the third, you're just glad to have all the clothes and toys. I don't have to go buy anything else.
Yeah.
Made it great, but it is. It's fun. It's something I'm very used to and very comfortable with. So it's not anything really different than what I've been raised.
Well, I think, man, you are just, you've been like the most fun to, I just feel very enlightened and like, you know, if you can do all the things, then surely I can do it too. Thank you so much, Lee, for coming on. We had so much fun with you and learned so much and just appreciate you sharing your time with us. Thank you so much.
I loved, like you said, I loved having a private school teacher on. I loved having a elementary music teacher on and a mom of three on. We've had, I think Mary Hannah was our
three.
That might have been, everyone else I think has been two or one, I think.
Yeah. Three boys and a little one.
Yes.
And
the wee baby. Yeah. Oh, okay. You know what we forgot to do, Nicole? We forgot to shout everybody out that Hattie had her baby.
Yes,
we forgot to mention that. Yeah, so Hattie had her baby, Aria Rose. Everything went great and everyone's healthy and thriving. So yeah, we'll have to see if Hattie's okay with us posting some pics of Aria.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to put that out there. By the time this comes out, she had her like at the beginning of May. So this is a few weeks late in congratulating Hattie and Jake and Fam.
Yay! New babies. New little mom noters.
Yay, little mom notes.
So this is a packed full outro. So we're talking about, I can't believe we have a season.
I know. Happy end of season one, Nicole. We did it.
Yay! We did a whole season. 14? Episodes? Okay. We'll count them.
I want to say 14. Yeah. It's too late at night for me to do math right now.
Yeah, I could never do math. It's fine. Yeah. But whoever's counting, let us know. We think it's 14. We have had so much fun with this. It's been a shining light in a very hard year. And it's been super inspiring. It's kept me like feeling motivated about what we do, honestly, because it makes you feel like there's other people out there, specifically women, who are doing it, who get it, and who believe in you out there in the universe. So it's been great. And I can't wait for season two.
I'm so excited. And going on this journey with you, Nicole, has just been just so much fun. And I can't believe like we did it. Like this started out as just like a funny joke that I said off the cuff. And Nicole learned very quickly not to joke with me.
I love that. I have very few friends who you say, let's do this. And they're like, okay. And then they actually like stick with it and commit to it with you. So I'm so grateful to have a friend like you that will say like, sure, let's try it.
Let's do it. Here's a spreadsheet. Here's a plan.
Here's a spreadsheet. Shout out to Shelby.
Oh yeah, Shelby's spreadsheets inspiring me to make spreadsheets. Oh my gosh. And I just loved every one of our guests and learned from every one of them. And yeah, they inspire me and I go back and listen to their episodes sometimes when aww, I hear that wise voice in my ear. And I am just so excited to start season two this fall.
Yeah.
And let's see, have some old guests come back,
yeah,
new topics, start, do some beginning of the year, you know, fun things. Yeah.
So we're looking at fall for a restart. Everybody needs a little refresh time this summer. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking at fall. We have a long list of guests that we want to ask. We also would love to have returners. If you have any recommendations, please send them our way. And we have some specials that we might
Yeah, some special picks.
Yeah, so we'll see. Who knows the state of the world in the fall, but we have plans to record a season, dang it.
And huge thanks to you guys, our listeners, for sticking with us and listening to our amateur podcast.
Yes, thank you, Mom. Thanks, Mom. Thank you to our sisters.
Yes.
Well, maybe just one of our sisters.
And our spousal units.
Yeah. Thank you for the listens. And we will let you know when we're about to reach a big milestone.
Yes, we're about to reach 1,000 total listens. We're going to put that on the...
Yeah, so maybe by this time we will have. We're going to eat a cake in all of your honors if you're listening.
Yes, we'll make a cake and we're going to eat it together and but yeah, we will see you for season 2 very soon. Maybe some fun bonus content over the summer.
Yeah.
We get us through the summer. But yeah, we will see you in the fall for Mom Notes season 2.
See you then. Bye.
Love my gosh, I love them. And then there's Jo, who always injured herself at Katie's house. It was either like hot chocolate or the sparkler or there's always something at Katie's house.
That's all right. We do the same thing. Like, you know, once you have more than one kid, you just stop caring as much. So like yeah, my kid can play with a firecracker and my kid
it's fine.
Can play with a beer can. It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good.